Hello, this is Martin Patella, the health coach at Life Enthusiast. And with me today, Stephen Ezell. He is the CEO at Truly Free. And we have been using this product for some time with great deal of pleasure. Stephen, welcome.
Martin, I am so excited for this conversation. This is going to be great.
Yeah. Well, Life Enthusiast, 25 years of helping people, our motto. Restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Well, this is more about the planet, but the you is also important because number one problem in our modern industrial world is toxicity.
No doubt. No doubt. And I've
And so,
dedicated my life to solving that.
yeah, exactly. Could you tell a bit of history? How did we get here?
Sure. Well, I guess my journey on this, low tox, world started off, almost 17 years ago. I have five kids now, but when my firstborn son, was just a couple weeks old, he broke out in this horrific rash. It looked like I literally dunked him in boiling water. He was just a couple weeks old, and I was getting him undressed, getting ready for his bath, and he was screaming. And I thought just because he wanted mom, it wasn't me. And when I saw like he had like these like again his this rash was so bad from his neck all the way down to his ankles, I called over my wife. My wife's a NICU nurse. So she's used to working with, very, very sick infants in the neonatal unit. And when I saw my wife freak out, I freaked out, and we bundled them up and straight to the pediatrician. And then the pediatrician was like, "Wow, this is really bad," and sent us to a pediatric dermatologist specialist and there. And then they prescribed Amy, my wife, because she was breastfeeding with all these prophylactic antibiotics and steroids, and then him with steroids and antihistamines and all these things. And obviously, we knew no better. So we're on our way to the pharmacy to like fulfill all these prescriptions. And a family member who's has always been a very naturally minded person, heard through mom, like, this is what's going on. And, she called and asked me a question that changed my life. And we were just a few blocks away from the pharmacy. And she said, "What are you using for laundry detergent?" I'm like, "Laundry detergent? What do you, no, like, my son's sick. Like, we'll talk about laundry some other time." And she says, no, like, because, this stuff that you get at the store, people can, and especially children can have an allergic reaction to these chemicals." And I was like, "Are you serious? That's possible?" She goes, "Well, before you give Amy and the baby all this stuff, why don't you just wait a day and, just strip his clothes?" She gave me like this homemade concoction. So we went to the store and got all these, vinegar and borax and all this kind of like homemade stuff. And we fill up the bathtub, filled up the, with all of his bedding and clothing. And the next day he was fine. And I'm like, "Wait a second. So like laundry detergent made my kid sick?" So from that point, I became like a full-blown eco-conspiracy theorist. What else is in the laundry room? What's under the kitchen sink? What's on top of the kitchen? So I just like, and then I sent on this mission. So we became very eco, non-toxic, organically minded, back in 2008. And I was in the restaurant business. I built restaurants for a living, and that was my career path. And then years went by. We moved to Michigan. I didn't want to do restaurants anymore. And I met this grandma selling laundry soap at the farmer's market that was safe and great ingredients. And I wanted to buy in the company, and one thing led to another. And 2015 pivoted online, and now what started off with one refillable laundry jug, a concrete mixer from Harbor Freight. I used to deliver the orders to the post office in the back of the car, has now become one of the largest, non-toxic, manufacturers in the country. And we've started this movement,
All
this.
right, so let's just back down. You're throwing these very large concepts straight in. I think what's really important here is, of course, all of us in this industry end up being convinced by some kind of an emotional event that drives us forward.
I have
my story. Your story is really cool because it is, you saved your kid from a life of misery just by understanding that it was actually the industrial toxins in the laundry product. I mean, what a turn of, you know, like your life's journey, right? Took a massive turn right there.
Yeah, and I'll never look back. You know, and again, we were green before green was cool. And living a non-toxic and feeding our kids, you know, and ourselves organic and local foods way before. Now it's cool.
Yeah.
But we were doing this way before it was cool to do it.
Yeah. So, okay. So what all do you now do? Like, let's just say that the premise is, let's get the cleaning products in the house free of toxins. That's the mission, right?
Yeah, so Truly Free Home represents a full stable of non-toxic and refillable, you know, plant-powered cleaning products, from laundry to dish soap to dishwasher soap to surface cleaning to, you know, anything that's really laundry room, the kitchen sink, on top of the kitchen sink, the bathroom, anything in the cleaning category, we have seemingly piece by piece reinvented with a safe alternative.
Right.
And that's been the mission for trulyfreehome.com for many years. And we also have trulyfreemarket.com, which is an alternative marketplace for great brands. But our main focus at Truly Free Home is to set the world free of toxic chemicals.
Right. And this is a big deal. So if anyone listening here now has any conscience, will understand that we live in this on this planet Earth, and it's a whole lot like an aquarium in the sense that whatever we ingest, we are ingesting it from the planet, from the aquarium, but when we are finished with it, we drop it in there, right back into the aquarium.
Yes.
We are pooping into our own nests, so to speak. So it's really important for all of us to understand that whatever we put out is going to stay with us, and it's going to stay with us for the next generation.
Absolutely. You know, the plant, we're in a closed system.
That's a good word. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, nothing is created from nothing. And most things that come out of the earth return to the earth very easily. It's when they start getting compiled with other things that are synthesized that things get very, very crazy. I think, you know, Martin, I think we're in a very interesting time in human history where, you know, 50 years ago, 80 years ago, it was all about like creating things that work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, in the pursuit for efficacy and cost effectiveness, you know, consumerism was driven by, I want the cheapest thing that gets the job done. It doesn't matter what the job is. It's just not just cleaning, but anything, you know, what is the most economical way to accomplish the task at hand? And I think we're at this inflection point in consumer behavior where people still want things that work and they still want to get the job done, whatever that is. If it's, whether it's cleaning, whether it's cleaning or getting dressed, like whatever that is, I want the best experience. And yes, I'm also concerned about the economic value, but now I think so many people are waking up to, at what cost? And the cost is more than money, right?
Yeah.
What cost to my health? What cost to my life? What cost to my local, you know, community?
Yeah.
At what cost to the planet?
Well, you put in three wonderful and important things. One is the inflection point, right? Like with each added chemical, with each pound of the toxic stuff added to the planet, it's geometric. And at some point you hit the hockey stick, the inflection point where stuff starts taking off.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're living that moment now in our industrialized societies. It's upon us. It's here now. And I think it's really important that every consumer understands that wherever they put their dollar, their money, that's what grows. So if you want more toxicity, carry on and buy the stupid products. But if you want the next generation, to survive or thrive, then we need to change.
I couldn't agree more, Martin. I've used this analogy on stages all over the world, so I'll use it again because I think it's still very pertinent. And that's, this story of spinach. Many years ago, spinach was a leafy vegetable. And then over time, in this, consumerism-driven industrial age, spinach got heavily genetically modified and was ridden with pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, etc., in order to get this commodity of spinach. And then what happened was a bunch of hippie, granola crunching growers said, we're not going to grow this. We're going to grow organic, heirloom seed-based, non-genetically modified spinach. And that started to take root in farmers markets and CSAs and co-ops and health food stores until there's so much press that was coming out on this genetically modified herbicide, fungicide ridden spinach that market share started shifting from large agro chem agro producers to these very small micro producers of spinach locally. And what happened was large scale producers like Costco and so forth said, well, wait a second. Either we find a way to pivot, right, to grow at scale organic, like heirloom, non-GMO spinach, or these hippies are going to kill our market share. So now you go to the store and where spinach, organic spinach used to be two, three, four times the cost of regular, right, conventional spinach. Now it's even cheaper. And that's mostly, the store is mostly organic spinach. And it's not because farmers became philanthropists. To your point, so many people started voting with their dollars and demanded this product at this. So then what happened was industry find a way to scale that product, right? So now organic spinach normal. And that's because a bunch of people voted with their dollars and industry pivoted. They had to, or they would lose. And I think that's where we are as a society in so many industries, not just, the agricultural industries, but in every industry, right? We're seeing this major pivot to where entrepreneurs that are finding a better way are either going to take market share from the people that are hurting people, right? Or these large scale companies are going to find a way to pivot. And we're seeing that happening now.
Right. Yeah, I agree. The pivot point is around 20% of the market.
Yeah.
So if we collectively, we clean thinking granola crunching crowd, well, we don't have to be crunching granola. I wouldn't touch wheat if you beat me.
Yeah, I don't like granola and I don't drive a Subaru, but that's the, yeah.
But you know the what point I mean. The point is we care about the planet. You know, there are two modalities. One is called the plunder and the other one's called the sustainer or I don't know what the word would be, but the hunter-gatherer society was able to sustain itself without destroying the environment.
Yes.
And then came the industrial modality of plunder, where you show up, rape the whole thing, take everything without care. You know, you kill all the bison or you take down all the forests, whatever. After us, the deluge. We don't care.
Yeah.
That mindset got us rich and toxic. We now going to be dying of toxicity unless we change our ways. It's that dramatic. It's that important to actually get the message.
You know, Martin, many people don't think about, like cleaning products, laundry, like can these really like affect the human genome? You know, there was a study done by Mayo and Cleveland Clinic, and they showed that, and there's multiple now peer-reviewed studies at scale where the average healthy umbilical cord of a healthy full-term child that's born, they take that cord blood, the umbilical cord blood, and it's tested. And the average woman has 400 household chemicals in the cord blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no right? Surprise there. You touch so, it. It's on your skin. You touch it. You handle it. You wear it. It's this membrane is semi-permeable.
So lotions and potions and cosmetics and skincare and laundry care and, you know, air fresheners, and the list goes on, right? The chemicals that we're breathing straight past the blood-brain barrier, perfumes, carcinogens, estrogens, and the list goes on, hormone-disrupting chemicals. And we're literally, like you said, ingesting, breathing, bathing in this soup of toxicity. And and nobody's exempt. Nobody, right?
Nobody,
No,
but
no.
the important point here is if we don't turn a corner, if we
Yes.
don't take the fork in the road to the healthy side, we are actually going to end up like off the cliff.
No doubt. And it sounds like doom and gloom, Martin, and it is overwhelming when you think about the vastness, but every micro decision that we make, one little decision, right? What produce do you buy? What protein? What farm? What cleaning product? What skincare product? What sunscreen? It's whatever, like the every little micro decision impacts you at a very, very large scale. So you don't be overwhelmed. Like you're listening to this, you're like, oh my gosh, this is the first time I've ever heard this, or maybe it's the 100th. Like just every little micro decision has a compounding effect.
Yeah, all we need is that you switch your laundry powder. Just that one thing. You can pick up the other products later. We want you to change your entire house. We do. But just take the one thing.
Yeah. And for Truly Free, like if you know, my advice to people like listening to this, like I want to be here creating value. This isn't a pitch session. I'm not trying to like, but wait, there's more and sell you Truly Free. You know, there are some great brands that are really trying to do cool things. I happen to believe that we've always been on the cutting edge of green chemistry and create the best products that work the best in the safest way. But you know, look at back labels. You know, if a company is not willing to be transparent on the ingredients, don't support them. You know,
Okay, let's. Yeah, would
we
you
made a
please?
business decision years ago, right? Like
Yeah.
we would not that we would be we would literally disclose every ingredient on our label and not hide behind, you know, patent and trademark loopholes and fragrance loopholes, that we would just tell people what's in everything
Yeah.
and do your own research. But there's so many companies that can hide, you know, ingredients in these classifications, and we just refuse to do so.
Yeah, would you please name some of the ones that are actually contributing to the problem? I mean, most of us have heard of phosphates, right?
Yeah, so there's some ingredients. So phosphates, you know, and phosphates are not necessarily that toxic to the human genome.
No, it's a runoff problem, right?
It's a runoff problem. So what phosphates do is they create this really downstream effect in water treatment and well water. Like they have more of an environmental impact than a human impact. The things that have human impact are the chemical classes of chemicals that are highly synthesized. Perfumes, fragrances, ultra UV brighteners, surfactants, those are the bubble things that make, you know, bubbles that are ethoxylated. So there's a process in making cleaning products called ethoxylation. And the byproduct of this process of making these cleaning agents is a main compound called 1,4-dioxane, which is a class one carcinogen. So you have these classifications of chemicals that are estrogenic. So they're hormone mimicking, so they disrupt people's hormones. They're carcinogenic. They're irritants for breathing in or skin. This is why so many people, when you go to like the department store at the mall, and what's the first main department like is the perfume aisle, because they want to waft you in. And these chemicals, many of them are literally like mimic pheromones that are given off when having intercourse. So it tricks the mind into thinking that it's very seductive. Well, these chemical compounds are not like the opposite sex having like intercourse between husband and wife. We're literally like mimicking these estrogens and these hormones, and it's really like toxic because it passes right through the blood-brain barrier, you know. So people get headaches, migraines, going in the cleaning aisle at the supermarket. Because we're literally like tricked into believing that, you know, efficacy is through the smell, and it's really not. So, you know, so again, things that smell that are super pungent, the majority of them are very, very toxic. And companies that are making these perfumes and clean, like, they don't have to disclose what are their ingredients under patent and trademark law. So they can classify all these ingredients into perfume. That's why if you look at, you know, the main leading perfumes that you can get or colognes at the department store, the ingredient is parfum.
Yeah,
but there could be 700 chemical compounds that they'll never take. They don't have to tell you what's in it, you know, and UV brighteners that, you know, that's why like the leading laundry detergents and fabric softeners are green or blue, because they're designed to leave this blue or green film on your fabrics to trick your eyes into believing that your fabrics are brighter than they really are. But really all it is an optical illusion. But these chemicals are designed to stay on your sheets and fabrics. Many, that even when you go clothes shopping, never, ever, ever wear brand new clothes without washing them in something that, why? Because they're literally sprayed at factories in India, in China, overseas, where they don't have regulation. We don't make many textiles here in the US anymore, or in Canada. Like, most textiles are made overseas. Yeah. And they're sprayed with fire retardant chemicals, with UV brighteners.
Yeah, they fumigate the darn things before, because of the tropical fungal problems that they would get, because humidity causes fabrics to get moldy.
Deteriorate. Yeah. So now, you know, and people, oh, I got new clothes. I don't know. You need to wash your new clothes more than your dirty clothes. Your dirty clothes that you wore out in the yard or out to the gym that stink, if they are safer to wear than brand new clothes.
Yeah.
So, you know, people just need to hear this stuff more. That's why I appreciate the work that you guys do, and, you know, at Life Enthusiast and educating people, because it's so important that most people never heard of these things before, right? Mm-hmm. Like okay. Handling receipts when you go to the grocery store or the restaurant, like the chemicals that are in receipts.
Teflon.
Crazy, right? So we just,
yeah. Would you, know. Yeah, Steve, would you please name some of the chemicals so that people can actually look at the label?
Yeah, so anything.
I don't want that.
Yeah, so anything. So the problem is you can't do a lot. There's not a lot of companies that disclose them, but I'll give you some ideas. When you see ionic or non-ionic surfactants as a classification, if the companies are not willing to disclose which surfactants, automatically assume that they're toxic. Most companies don't even list that they have UV brighteners on their products. So if you see blue or green, don't buy it. If you see fragrance, don't buy it. If they're not going to disclose what fragrance oils or perfumes that they are using in their product, if they're not willing to disclose what perfumes or fragrances, don't use it. A very large scale, probably the most popular is SLES. Sodium lauryl ester sulfate, or ether or ester sulfate. It's an ethoxylated surfactant. It's a derivative of SLS, sodium lauryl sulfate. These are like either skin irritants or very dangerous. So I would stay away from, you know, ethoxylated ingredients. So the problem is, Martin, most cleaning products that you read the labels don't actually list the ingredients.
Ah.
So that the biggest one, name the ingredients. I can give you a list of hundreds of them, but you'll never find them out because, you know, unless right. You go to an MSDS sheet and even there they can hide, you know, it's just right. Really, really challenging. So I would say, instead of what to stay away from, just go after and research the brands that do list their ingredients and make your decision accordingly.
Well, I would go simpler. Smell it. If it has a smell to it, don't get it.
Yeah, it's very, very true. And that's why almost all of our products we make unscented, for that reason. You know, some products we do use plant-based fragrance oils and essential oils because so many people demand that sensory experience. So we create it for them in the safest way that we possibly can. But even still, we still create unscented versions of virtually every one of our products, just so that you don't need anything to smell like anything for it to work. It's completely vanity.
Right. Comple-
You don't
I
need.
appreciate the smell of lavender and all of
Yeah. But the smell of lavender or eucalyptus or lemon verbena, although very nice smells, are not going to get your dishes any cleaner or your clothes any cleaner or your countertops any nicer. It's strictly only there for a sensory experience. It doesn't do anything to provide a better experience.
With laundry, we need to get rid of oils. We need to get rid of microbes and probably wash out the proteins that are on it, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, again, like most, you know, microbes and, you know, germs, I would say, you know, in a alkaline environment where there's soap can't survive in an aqueous alkaline environment. And that's what almost all cleaning products do, is provide that, you know, a high alkaline environment. So most things can't survive in that environment anyway, right? So that's why, like, you know, washing your hands with soap is even more efficacious than a sanitizer.
So let me ask you this. You have actually taken on this size and volume and shipping costs problem, right? Like, I
sure.
really like the fact that you are sending the liquid soap, except you're sending it in powder.
This is honestly, like, and, you know, we pioneered back in 2015. So we're all, you know, we're at this for virtually a decade now. It's only taken us a decade to be an overnight success. I joke around. And, you know, this is actually how we're able to compete with all the chemical giants, and how we've been able to grow at such a large scale, because, you know, we're, you know, all the mainstream goo that you get at the store, you know, there's a lot of cost in packaging and these plastic bottles and labels, and there's lots of cost in shipping all this liquid around the planet.
And it's heavy.
Yeah, it's heavy. So that's actually how we, so when I built my first website in late 14 in 2015, we're about to turn the website on, and I was curious, how much does it cost to ship 4 pounds, 50 ounces of liquid laundry detergent from Northern Michigan around the country? And what we saw was that it averaged around $14 to ship this laundry jug around the country. We planned on selling, at the time, our laundry soap for $15. So it would cost $14 to ship a $15 product. And I said, this is the go out of business strategy.
Yep.
Because people are not going to spend $29 for a jug of laundry soap. And literally, I feel like, you know, God gave us this crazy idea and his vision for refillable cleaning products. So, you know, when you buy the blue goo at the store, it's 90% plus water.
Mm-hmm.
So we just ask crazy questions. Well, what if we didn't ship the water? And what if this plastic that was destined to float in the ocean, you know, we gave a lifetime warranty? So, like, that came, like, that was the genesis of, you know, refillable cleaning products. And that was, like, you know, the eureka moment was, like, you know, now this expensive packaging, now the person gets a laundry jug once and they could keep it for life, because it doesn't go bad. You just, and instead of shipping water, we'll just ship you the concentrated active ingredients, and you add whether it's laundry soap and it's powder or liquid or a glass cleaner. So we'll just ship the concentrated refill. You don't need to ship water. You already have it in the kitchen sink. So you add a refill, you add water, you shake it up, and you've got a refillable product. And, you know, it started off with this crazy idea. You know, we've now saved, you know, tens of millions of pieces of plastic from ever being produced. Because now, you know, again, if you went to the, you know, the club store and got 250 loads of laundry in this big thing, you'd have to need a back brace and just, you know, lug it to jump, you know, drop it on the counter.
It's a pallet.
You need a pallet jack, to get laundry soap, where now that all fits inside your mailbox.
Right on. Yeah. And of course, on our end, we help people make low surface tension water. We sell these little ceramic gadgets that actually help people lower the surface tension and lower the cluster size of the water. So it will be even more effective than just basic.
No doubt. It's an amplifier for those technologies. Ceramic technology is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. And of the other things, so you have dishwasher soap?
Yeah, so like dishwasher soap has become one of our top three most popular products. That one, the hardest product for us to create was laundry. And the second hardest was dishwasher. And the reason being is the largest ingredient in your washing machine when you're washing clothes or doing your dishes is your water, right? So you're putting 5, 10, 20 gallons in your washing machine. You're putting 2, 3 gallons of water in your dishwasher, but you're only using a capful of product. So the biggest challenge is to get the job done and treat the water. So, yeah. So our dishwasher soap, man, we've had this thing tested independently for years. It is the best performing plant-based dishwasher soap on the market, period, end of story. We outperform all the toxic little jelly potty type. I got to be very the words that I use, since I've not made a lot of friends in the chemical industry, but
Yes.
all of those jelly potty type things, we outperform the mainstream stuff and gets the job done, and we don't leave a toxic residue like those other products do.
Fantastic. And what else would you like to highlight?
The biggest thing is, if you've listened to this podcast for this amount of time, right, you're one of the weird, you're one of us, right? You're one of the weird people. Just continue to swim upstream, vote wisely with your dollars, support the companies, the brands, the farmers, the growers that are making a difference. And the more you vote with great small businesses that are helping people, the faster that our movement scales and we change the world together.
Couldn't say it better. Restoring vitality to you and to the planet. That's our mission. Stephen, we are going to include the promotional link right in the notes next to the podcast, and we're going to help people get direct from factory to consumer shipping of these wonderful products.
It's awesome. Well, Martin, thank you so much for your work. Especially, I know you can listen, people be listening to this podcast for years. We're at the recording into the holiday season. Give the gifts to people, to your friends and family that are making a difference, right? This is a great opportunity for us to educate our loved ones, people that we work with, our family, our children, our parents, aunts and uncles, is to give the gift of whatever that is, like non-toxic or organic or healthy living, vitality. This is the opportunity for us to make a big difference when so many people are buying. And this time of year, as we're heading into the holiday season, like making those differences, it's a really, really big deal.
It truly is. We have to save the world. This is our opportunity. It's not the save the world, the Superman style, but I tell you, one laundry load at a time, you are making a difference.
Amen.
This is Martin Patella, life-enthusiast.com. Thank you for listening.
Have a great day.